Arrow Acres is a small-batch, family-run, holistic skincare and cosmetic company. They're committed to quality ingredients that are nourishing for their family and ours. From tallow balms to soap, sunscreen, lip balms, and more, their inventory is always expanding and growing with their curiosity and experimenting. Arrow Acres is a group of three girls from our church, and they started making tallow balms and have expanded to a bunch of different things. I asked if it would be okay if we could do a giveaway on the Fruitful and Fearless podcast for the month of August, and they agreed. So I'm so excited to get to share this company with you guys because I love what they're doing. I love it that it's a family that's working together to make really quality products with safe and great ingredients. Our family has used a lot of their things, and I've loved everything that I used. I highly recommend the sunscreen. We used it when we went to the beach. It's just tallow and zinc oxide. So if you need a mineral sunscreen, we don't use sunscreen very often, but when we go to the beach or somewhere we're going to be in the sun all day, then I would like to use a mineral sunscreen with safe ingredients, and this is one of those. So I definitely recommend that. I love their tallow. I use it for a facial moisturizer. I've used their lip balm. I love that. I just got their bug spray this morning and their, what else did I buy? The bug spray and the scrub. So I love all their stuff. So I recommend them to you because I love to use them for my family, and I thought that you guys would like them as well. So if you go to the Fruitful and Fearless Instagram, you'll see a post about the giveaway for the month of August with all the instructions on how to enter that. So you'll follow Arrow Acres Homestead, follow us, share, you know, the normal giveaway type stuff. And then at the end of August, I'll announce the winner. They're giving away a bar of their summer flower soap, some lavender tallow balm, the lip balm, and a bug spray. So you'll definitely want to check them out. Arrow Acres Homestead. Thank you for sponsoring the Fruitful and Fearless podcast this month. If there's anyone else out there that would like to be a sponsor for a month, just reach out to me either on my personal Instagram or the Fruitful and Fearless Instagram for more information. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I am here today with Becky McNeely and Kate Hedgecraft. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Kate, do you want to go by Kate or Caitlin?
Either. It doesn't matter.
Okay. I'm just going to switch it up then. Some weeks I'll call you Kate.
Whatever you feel like doing.
Okay. Whatever feels right that day. What does your family call you?
So my parents didn't like nicknames growing up for us. So okay. It was always Caitlin. And then when I cheered in high school, it became Kate because it was short enough to fit on all the things we had to monogram and stuff. Yeah. And then in college, I was like, I'm going to, you know, rebrand. I'm a new whatever. I'm starting a new chapter.
I'm going to rebrand myself.
Yeah. And so it really just depends on who I'm talking to and where I'm at. And I'm
probably, you'll answer to both.
Yeah, I'll answer to both. So yeah.
It's funny because Providence, Jared calls her Providence, her full name. And then the boys go back and forth. I call her Provi a lot. But sometimes she'll introduce herself as Providence, and sometimes she'll say Pravi. And it's funny. I'm like, I wonder which one she's going to actually call herself.
But yeah. Maybe both. It's sweet.
Maybe I love both.
It. I feel like her name is so sweet. It can go either way. Yeah, like some names are hard to shorten, but hers is, I love it both ways.
Yeah.
And Audrey always calls her Probri.
Probri. Yeah. okay. What'd you guys do today?
We went swimming too in our little baby pool outside. I was trying to, and then I hung a bunch of clothes on the line and we pretty much just basked in the sun for a few hours.
Yeah. What about you? You went to Aldi and Marion.
I did. I did go to Aldi and Marion. And I actually went inside the store this time. That was weird. but we had a pretty slow day. So the kids and I woke up, we played a little memory game for an hour or so, which was really fun. And we went thrifting today. And it's a good night construction site. It's just the little cards that you flip over.
Oh, like match a matching all the game?
Little pieces together.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. And we did that for a little bit. And then we went thrifting together, found some really cool things.
You should tell everyone about your find at the thrift store this morning.
Oh yeah, so the thrift store I went to, it's a little hole in the wall one uptown, and the whole month of June is 50% off. So I thought, well, this will be fun. And I've been looking for a second comforter for our bed because I like beige and cream and neutrals and chocolate chip cookies and sticky little hands, obviously stain comforters really fast. So I was like, it'd be nice just to have a backup from when I need to wash others. I just grabbed this one. I was like, oh, it's a cream color. It was really pretty. Got it home, looked at the tag, and then I thought, you know, it says Egyptian cotton. I should look up who the brand is. So I looked him up online and I paid $5 for this comforter. And the actual price for it is $845 for the same comforter. So now I'm in this spot where I'm like, okay, well, do we breathe on this now? Like, this was going to be my backup comforter that I toss in the bottom of our linen closet for if we have a sick kid or something, you know? I was like, I don't know if I can if I can use
Amazing.
this that way. Like, do we really treat ourselves, or do I put up on eBay? What do I do?
That's why I love thrifting so much, is because it's a treasure hunt. You never know what you're gonna find. And that's our favorite thing to do, is to like go to the thrift store or yard sales and then come home and Google what we got and be like, oh my gosh, this was a $100 muffin tin, which I got that stoneware muffin tin at a yard sale for $1 one time. And I was like, these are $100. That's so
And
fun.
I think we've talked about this before. I've talked about it with one or maybe both of you, but it's crazy how I'll see something or I'll hear about something and think that would be so nice to have, but I'm not going to spend 30, 40 bucks on it. And then the Lord just provides. And it's not everything. And I'm not over here praying for just like an abundance of material things.
No, but I often don't even pray. I often like don't even pray. I'm just like, oh,
No.
it would be nice to have that, and then I'll find it at a yard sale. That's
Yes.
thank
Or
you.
it'll
You
just,
know what
yeah,
we
it's
need
just,
before we even ask for it.
yes.
You
There
are.
loves to bless his children. And it's just really sweet.
Jordan, you told me stories about how God provided for you. Oh, this was years ago, because this was, I think it was during 2020, and I had just started sewing, and my grandma had given me a really nice sewing machine, and I wanted to start figuring it out, but I didn't have a place for it permanently. And I was like, you know, it'd be really great to have a sewing table. And I was talking to you about it one day, and you're like, well, just pray about it. Just pray about it and see what happens. So I started praying about it, and I was like, okay, you know, this feels silly to pray for a sewing table, but we'll try it. I think it was not even a week later. I was driving down some backwoods or roads, and there was a beautiful antique sewing table sitting out on the curb. And my sister-in-law was with me, and she knows the people that live there. So she called them real quick and said, hey, what's the story here? And they're like, oh, please just take it. It's in good shape. We just don't want to mess with hauling it off. And it's still my sewing table, and it's
I love that.
beautiful. I love it. And God just provided it. It's really cool.
My
That's cool.
entire life is filled with stories of God blessing me abundantly with stuff like that. Just like I needed some mannequins whenever I was doing a lot of sewing once, and a store in Harrisburg was going out of business, and they were like, do you want all these mannequins? I'm like, yes, I absolutely want them. And just think, just over and over, that's just small.
So
But
cool.
it a lot of times it's been just small things that it's like, didn't have to have that, but it would have been cool to have. And God just, I remember when that happened, coming home and telling my mom about it. And I'm like, God literally like hunts me down and throws blessing on me. Like, it's not like I am begging him for certain. It's like God has my entire life hunted me down and been so generous with me. And I think every believer can say that. Well, we should be able to say that. We should be able to say every single day of my life, God has been so abundantly generous with me because he lets me breathe another day and he lets me be right with God because of what Christ has done for me. Like, all the things, just if we pay attention to those things, man, God's been so abundantly generous. But above just salvation, God has given me so many sweet little things that I didn't have to have, but it was really nice of him. Pray for
And
sewing table.
some of those sweet little things, just to transition us into our topic today, but some of those sweet little things are little people that God blesses our lives with, but also change our bodies, and that's not a bad thing. So
What a
that's just
nice segue.
it.
So we are talking about body image today. I've never talked about this on the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I know that I have like mentioned it in passing, but I thought that it might be a good topic to actually dive into because the body of a woman is ever changing with the years, and that can be a real mental trap for some women if you let yourself go down that rabbit hole and actually pay attention to it. Like, if you put your identity in what your body is looking like, well, that is a very shifting sand just with having kids or not having kids. Just with getting older, your body changes so much. I just have seen it be quite the trap. So I don't want that for anyone. So I thought that we could talk about it a little bit today and just hopefully find some encouragement and stability in the solid rock of Christ rather than an ever-changing thing like our bodies. So I have notes today, actually down on paper. We all have notes. So this might be 5 hours long.
I'm so proud.
Okay, so do you remember Sunday at church whenever Andy brought up the Franny Crosby hymn? So Franny Crosby wrote "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior" after she was speaking at a Manhattan prison, and she was walking through the halls, and the people in the cells were saying to her, don't pass me by, and it inspired her to write "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," which has really beautiful lyrics. And if you don't know much about Franny Crosby, she was a missionary to like the darkest districts of New York, to like the urban poor and just like really dark places in New York. And she gave her life to that, and she wrote a bunch of hymns and stuff. Another interesting thing about her is that she was born blind. Well, some people think she was born blind. Some people think she went blind as a really young baby. She was blind her entire life. And I have just been thinking about that song all week and then preparing for this podcast. I'm like, man, how different it would be to not be blessed with the gift of sight. Okay, so sight is a blessing. God gives it to us. Some people don't have it. But if you didn't have it, how different would your world be? And it's really cool to think about Franny Crosby, who gave her life to missions, and what her existence lacked was a real like focus on self. And she could have lived her life with a real pity of herself. And I think that ties in with body image, because whenever we are so self-focused, whenever we're bringing our eyes to ourselves instead of to the people around us that God has entrusted us to, or the mission that he's set us forth on, we get self-consumed and self-absorbed. And I'm like, man, if you didn't even have sight to be able to look at your body and to be able to compare it to other people or magazines or TV shows or whatever standard you've put yourself up against that's really bumming you out, if you didn't even have eyes to see those things, like, how different would your life be? And I've been thinking about Franny Crosby this week. So I'm like, man, if you just had, like, if you had the Lord, you had, I'm assuming she read Braille, it was in the late 1800s. If you had the word, that'd be a different experience with less temptation when it comes to body image, if you didn't even have the blessing to see what your body looked like in the mirror.
So because she didn't have the sight to see that, I think, I mean, I'm not inside of her mind, I don't know, but I think it would have been easier for her to not fall into that ditch of discontentment, of comparison. Right. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of body image concerns or struggles come with women, is we look at, oh, if I just had her hips, or if I just had her legs, or I would love if my stomach was flat like that again, or I would love to have this or that, or, you know, my hair would do this one thing or what have you. Right. And really, when you look at that and you think, okay, where are those thoughts coming from? The root of that is discontent.
Absolutely.
And it's a discontentment in not just, and some of it can be, oh, I'm discontent in how I'm caring for my body. And that's, I think that's an okay discontentment to have, as long as it propels you into how can I care better for the temple that God has given me? And maybe there are different, maybe there's a different routine you need to follow. Maybe there are unhealthy patterns that you need to look at and be like, oh, I probably don't need to be doing these things because they're not caring well for my body, but not, I don't need to do these things so that I can eventually look a certain way. But I think a lot of that just comes down to, are we content in the body, constantly looking to the other side to say, well, the grass would be greener if I lost 20 pounds. And really, I wrote this one down, as Christian women, our beauty is found first and foremost in the handiwork of our Creator, but also in our conduct and in the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. To diminish it to a number on a scale or an arbitrary number printed on a tag is to altogether miss the beauty of being uniquely fashioned in the image of our Creator, for the purposes he is predestined for each of us to do. Mm-hmm. So God has created each one of us for our own good works. Like my body was meant to have my children. Mm-hmm. My body wasn't meant to have your children or your children. It was meant to have my children. And so the way that my body responds to that is going to be different from another woman. And just because, so I have one of those yo-yo bodies where I don't gain very much in pregnancy, but postpartum, my body thinks that I'm starving in the Arctic and I need to hold on to everything, you know, and it just sits there for like a year. And it's challenging sometimes, but God has created my body to have the babies that I've had. And that's a beautiful thing. Right. And it's okay if I don't fit into, again, like an arbitrary number on a, right. on a tab. Why does that matter? It doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, but I think sometimes we can get so caught up in that we miss the beauty of why God designed our bodies the way that he did. And that there's a lot of beauty in our bodies being different from each other. Mm-hmm. If we were all cookie cutter, we would look like robots, or it would be kind of creepy, you know,
and boring.
Yeah, it'd be super boring.
Well, I think I think as women, this is such a ditch that we can fall into, because especially in the seasons that we're all in, childbearing, you're raising little people, there's a lot of hormones, a lot of feelings, and there's such a culture, I don't know if it's really a shift, but I think it's what's being accepted right now to lean into your feelings about everything. Like if you feel like you're a different gender, or you feel like that you need to be skinnier, or you need to be wearing, you know, like you fall into, there's two ditches. Samuel Rutherford said, your heart is not the compass Christ sails by. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so timely for today's topic, because it really goes back to the way that we feel about and the way that we think about who we are as image bearers. Mm-hmm. And so Rachel Jankovic talks about this, I think in a couple of different books, but she compares our feelings to little monkeys, and it's up to us to tame the little monkeys. Like the little monkeys, whatever they want to do, mm-hmm. if we let them run around without cages. But it's up to us as image bearers of Christ to focus on what we need to be doing. So if you're a mom, you're focusing on the wellness of your body for your children, right. to be an effective mother, to be a good wife, to be able to serve other people. And certainly there are seasons where we're kind of out of commission for a moment, a couple weeks, couple months, and we're focusing on, you know, on nursing a baby in the night, or mm-hmm. we're in a tricky season where we can't necessarily focus as much. But I think nourishing our bodies with food, like good water, minerals, and moving however you feel like you need to do in different seasons, it's really quite basic in how we care for our bodies, but it's so vastly ignored for the superficial,
right.
in our world, and like on Instagram and whatever platforms people are on. It's so easy to think, well, if I had those magnetic eyelashes, or maybe, you know, or not that those are inherently bad,
right.
but I think need to fall into that, like, man, I had this like knockoff Lululemon, it would make me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with finding cute clothes or finding some jewelry that makes you feel put together and being presentable and feeling good in your own skin. But I think so much of it comes down to, you know, a couple hundred years ago, people were nourished a lot more than they are today, and they didn't have the refined sugars and things that make us feel so poorly physically, right. that we're seeking. I think it's a little bit more tempting now because we're not slopping the hogs at, you know, 5 in the morning. We're not like, we have a lot less to focus on.
Yeah.
And for us, it's easier to let our mind just wander.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is exactly yeah. true, that we need to remind ourselves that our bodies are a tool, that this is a tool, and God has given it to us for a bigger purpose than just for people to look at, or for you to look in the mirror at and think one way or the other about. And just like if you were baking a cake, and if you like suddenly became really obsessed with your whisk, and you're like, this whisk is the ultimate reason for my cooking. And like, I only will use this whisk if it's really shiny and has no dough stuck on the handle. Like, it's just, it would be so silly. You're like, what are you talking about? You're baking a cake. Why are you obsessing about the whisk? It's not about the whisk. And in the same way, like, our body is a tool, and Yes, of course, we want it to be working properly. If my whisk is broken, I am going to repair it, or, well, you can't get a new one. The analogy breaks down. But what I'm saying is, with your tools, you want to make sure that they're working properly. You want to make sure that you are taking good care of them so that you can use them for the ultimate purpose. And in the same way with baking a cake, like your tools serve your purpose. And that's with our bodies too. Like, we are not glory receivers. We are glory reflectors. So whenever you become self-absorbed with body image and it comes to a really unhealthy level, you are, instead of reflecting that glory to God, you are just wanting it for yourself. And that becomes idolatrous and sinful and bad. And we don't want that, because it ultimately leads to sin and death and bad, bad things and misery. So whenever we get into a place where we are thinking way too much about our body, I think it is good to, one, repent and then be like, okay, why am I thinking about this too much? Is it because my body's not working in the way that I want it to? Because that can lead to a body image problem if your body's not working right. I know whenever I was pregnant with Oak, he was a giant baby, and I felt like I couldn't do the things that I needed to do. I am wagging around a giant weight on the front of my body. And I remember, like, helping Pravi go potty one day and just trying to get up out of the floor, be like, my gosh, I need a handle, because it's just huge and heavy. And I understand that, like, if you have something going on with your body that makes it harder, you focus on it more. So that is even more of a push to feel better so that you don't have to think about it. Because I think with our bodies, we want to get to a point where we're not really thinking about it. Like, it's working well, you feel well, and it's not the focus. Like, I'm not thinking about anything about my body one way or the other. I'm doing the things that God set before me, using the tool in the way that I want to. I think with that being said, we do have to recognize a little bit what you touched on, Kate, that we do live in a time that it is harder for our bodies to work well when it comes to the fact that we're not, you know, cleaning out stalls and doing as much manual labor as generations before us, and our food is not as good of quality as it has been in the past. So touch on that a little bit. Like, how, what's a balance then with not overly focusing on some of these things, but being aware that it's harder for us than it has been?
Right. So I think it kind of goes into the two ditches we can fall into with just body image in general and caring for ourselves in general. Sometimes people get a little depressed about it and they're like, well, there's too many things to change. I can't handle it. I'm just not going to do anything. Like, the day-to-day choices won't matter. And it's a bit of a Gnostic, like, well, it just, yeah, I can't handle it. So I'm not going to make the small day-to-day changes. Yeah. And I, you know, postpartum, I have a 2-year-old, for those who are listening that don't know me. And when I had my daughter Audrey, I kind of fell into this ditch of just overwhelm, and I have to change everything now. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't healthy. And now I'm in a much more balanced spot. But I think it's just important also to not go the other direction, where we're spending so much time focusing on it that it's got a hold on us that we can't focus on our day to day because we're so overwhelmed. So I think we're practically, what that gets into is, like, if you have to unfollow accounts that make you feel a little bit unhinged, like on Instagram, or, you know, if you're just consuming, and you're not prayerfully submitting your screen time, or you're like, your, what you're consuming to the Lord, and reevaluating and just kind of thinking through that, because practically what I think we need, I'm not trying to sound legalistic, but just from what it seems like, we need whole foods, we need water with minerals, like, we need electrolytes, just practically, we need water, we need minerals, we need foods that nourish us. And it doesn't mean that all we eat is carrots and chicken, but just, you know, like, that's something I've had to really come down on myself for. When I was postpartum and nursing, I was consuming whatever. Like, I was like, I am so hungry. And so I think it's just important to not get too self-absorbed in any area. Like, if you're a mother and you're spent, or just somebody with a lot of, you know, you have responsibilities, like, it's probably not the season for you to spend 3 hours a day at the gym.
Right.
You know, and it's just not. There's other things, not that the gym is bad, but just, you know, in moderation. And then if you're neglecting your spiritual, if you're not spending time with the Lord and you're not in the Word every day, I think, it's easy for us to fall into any ditch when we're not being guided by the word. So really, I feel like if it comes down to where you're neglecting your tangible duties and responsibilities as a wife, a mother, a just somebody serving others, if you are feeling convicted in a direction that's not feelings based, it probably needs to be evaluated.
The other thought I have is, I think it's really easy for when you're focusing on body image and you're fo e even when you're focusing on good things, any good thing, when used improperly, can be taken to an unhealthy level.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are simple creatures, we can take just about anything to an unhealthy level, not necessarily, but everything, but a lot of things. And when it comes to body image, Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty fades, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised." And it's very easy to idolize any of these things. So you can idolize eating whole foods to the point where you're obsessing over it to an unhealthy level. Or you can go on the other side where you're, well, not necessarily on the other side of healthy foods, but you can idolize spending time in the gym where you're like, I'm going to spend 3 hours. And if I just work out long enough, then I'll get skinny enough to fit into those pair of jeans that aren't even made for my body type. And which also will throw your hormones way out of whack, right? Like working out for 3 hours are straight in a gym kind of setting. That's not how God designed our bodies. He didn't design us for 3 hours on a treadmill. He designed us to love and serve and care for those around us. And sometimes we obsess so much over just this ideal that we have in our head of this is what the ideal woman looks like, therefore my body should look like that. That one, we take it to an unhealthy level, but two, we miss the beauty of what's around us because we're obsessing over, well, my belly is squishy now because I've had children, and so I'm going to be really mad and grumpy about that instead of snuggling these kids who are precious that the Lord has entrusted to me. Anytime we're talking about body image and the different struggles that women can have, I think there's a lot of slippery slopes into idolatry. And it all comes back down to where is your identity? What are you rooted and grounded in? And we know that charm is deceitful. We know that beauty fades. We know that eventually our bones are going to get weaker. We know that our hair is going to turn gray. We know that our skin is going to have wrinkles from smiling and laughing, Lord willing, lots. We know that those things are going to happen, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So where should our focus be? Yes, we take good care of our body. Yes, we nourish it well. Yes, we should be exercising regularly, drinking lots of water, all those things. But if we're obsessing over it so much that we're neglecting our spiritual health and neglecting the work that God has placed before us, I think we've missed the mark. Because eventually trying to hold on to beauty is just like trying to hold on to sand. It's going to fade, and that's not going to be what makes us beautiful. What makes us beautiful is going to be the spirit that God cultivates through time with him and in fellowship with him,
And honestly,
not
like, isn't there so many better things to think about? I understand that this is a struggle and you can get trapped in it, and I don't want to be not compassionate, but also do something else. Stop thinking about your, just to like say it strongly, stop thinking about yourself and do something
And
better.
sometimes if you stress, because I know for me, I get really frustrated postpartum when my body decides to hold on to everything, like it's clinging to every ounce of fat for its life. It's really frustrating if I've been working out for months and I don't see the numbers change and things like that. So it's really frustrating when my body does that. But if I obsess over it, then it leads me into one, my cortisol levels are probably through the roof because I'm so stressed out about it. And then it's going to hold on to everything all the more. And one, I know that this body's temporary. And two, I know that this is just a season and eventually I'll be back down to where I want to be. And that's okay. But I can rejoice now. Rachel Jankovic has a quote that says, "Carry the weight joyfully until you can lose the weight joyfully."
That's
And
good.
that has been something that's been really encouraging to me because my body has done this 3 times now postpartum, where I'm just going, "What is my deal? I'm eating carefully, I'm meal planning, And this time, God's done a work in me that I'm really thankful for, where the numbers aren't changing, but I'm taking good care of my body. I know that I'm nourishing it well. I know that I'm not nourishing it too much or am being overindulgent in any area. Like I know that's not where I'm at. I know that I'm caring for it in the way that He designed me to care for my body, and that's okay.
And it's just so important not to compare, because everybody's body does different things. My body postpartum loses way too much weight when I'm nursing, so I have to be super cautious to not get like lower than 90 pounds, because it will happen without me. I'm not trying to do that, but my body will get to unhealthy low because a giant baby is nursing me.
Genuinely giant baby this time with oak.
Yes, yeah. And that's why it's like you could look at somebody who is not very high in the numbers, but it's like I'm only 5 foot and I am eating as much, like as many calories as I can, like protein shakes, peanut butter, like heavy cream all the time. Just doing my best to not get lower than I want to, because that is not good for your body either. But one thing I was thinking about is, remember like in, well, I'm sure that I don't look at a lot of magazines right now, so I don't know, but like remember when in the 90s and early 2000s when like the big trend was like anorexic looking models?
Yes.
Okay. And then now the opposite extreme, where we have plus size models, which is both unhealthy. It's like we're being bombarded on both ends of the spectrum of like, be unhealthy in this way and that's fine, or be unhealthy in this way and that's fine. But I think it is important to realize media, all that kind of stuff is going to lie to you, and you should be grounded in, okay, I want my body to work as best as it can. I want to be strong for a bigger purpose, even with working out. Have you guys seen the real, I think it was like a commercial that someone made in another country, and I don't even know what it was. I don't know where it was, but it's an old man and he is lifting this kettlebell for months.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw that while I was pregnant and I sobbed.
Okay.
Oh, it's so
It's
sweet.
an old man doing this like same workout where he's lifting a kettlebell up and out above his head for months, and it's just like a ongoing thing. You see him doing
And it's
this,
like every day.
working up strength, and then it comes to Christmas and he like goes into his daughter's house at Christmas and gives his granddaughter the star for the top of the tree, and he like picks her up the same motion that he's been working out, and she
Yeah.
puts the star on top of the tree. And the message of the commercial is like, sometimes working out is about a lot more than just looking a certain way, but like it's about a much more beautiful and noble purpose. And I think as we age, and as we are parenting little kids, or as we are, serving the Lord in whatever way He calls us to, that we need to keep that in mind, that our working out is for this, whatever we're doing. It's for this, doing certain exercises so I can pick up a giant baby and my back not hurt. And things like that, just having a long view in mind. I'm aiming at a 70-year-old woman who's still able to play in the floor with her children or grandchildren, and able to pick little babies up with no pain. And that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to be strong when I'm an old woman. And Jared has those goals too. Like, he works out because he was he 40 when we had Oak? Yes, he had just turned 40 when we had Oak. So he's like, when he's 20, I still want to be close to being able to whip him still. Not spank him, but like whoop him,
Right.
we want to be able to, our kids call us and be like, hey, do you want to go on a hike? And we'll be like, yes, when we're 70, those kinds of things. You want your body to be able to do the things that you want it to be able to do as you get older. And so even with working out, it's good to have those thoughts in mind. What do I want my body to be able to do? And then working towards that goal.
One thing that I found, this is more on like the practical tips, but because I did struggle with this intensely more at the beginning of the year, and then like I said, God's graciously done a work in my heart as the in the last few months. But when I noticed that the workouts I was doing weren't achieving the numbers that I wanted, I got really discouraged. And then it caused me to step back and go, okay, wait, what's my purpose for this? Why am I working out? It's so that I can have energy to play with my kids. It's so that my muscles are strengthened after, because I had to take quite a bit of time off after I had Elsie, and I lost just muscle in general. And so I wanted to be able to build those muscles back up, to be strong, like you said, to play with my kids, to have the energy, all of those things. And so one thing that I found was there's a YouTube channel called Nourish Move Love, and she has a functional strength training program on there. And they're short little workouts. The kids actually like to do them with me, which is funny. Seeing little kids use like little 1 pound weights is really cute. But I like workouts like that are designed towards being a mom, and it's functional things. It's not well, I would really love to be able to do 100 burpees, which is not true, but
would not want that.
Hey, you're going to be picking up a toddler and putting them over here. Let's work on building those muscles that it takes to do that without throwing your back out or without pulling a muscle. Or, you know, if you are also carrying grocery bags and have to scoop them up, you know, building muscle for those things. So I think even being mindful in choosing the workouts that you're going to do or the kinds of exercises you're going to do that will help achieve those goals. Because that kind of, for me anyway, it helps me stay focused on, okay, what's my goal here? Why am I working out? If the numbers aren't moving and things aren't changing the way that I have concocted in my head, what's my purpose here? Choosing exercises that remind me of that all the time is really helpful.
Yeah. So if you are in a place that you have been lazy with your body and you're like, this is an unhealthy spot. I'm in an unhealthy spot and I'm having trouble getting out of it. I think first pray for self-control. Like that's the fruit of the spirit that you need to grow in. God, give me self-control. I'm sorry for not being self-controlled. Help me to be disciplined to exercise and to eat right and to get things out of my life that aren't healthy, and whether it be habits or foods or whatever it is, help me to get those things out of my life and to be self-disciplined, to get accountability so that you are accountable to someone that you are making those right choices, and then do that for a long time. And just like, this is not, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this month. This is for the next 10 years, I'm going to make these choices. And just have that really long view in mind of like, this is about long-term health. It's not about getting skinny. This is about, I want to be healthy for the long haul. Yeah. And then after you've been doing these things for the next 10 years, be content. Like be content. If you are eating really healthy, if you are exercising, being an active person, then that's what your body looks like. And I've said that so many times, like, are you eating healthy? Are you exercising? Are you active? Okay, then that's what your body looks like.
Right.
Be content. That's okay.
Another just practical tip for those who are postpartum and are in that, because obviously God designed our bodies as women. Like he designed our hips to get bigger when we have babies. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good thing. We wouldn't want them to stay. I wouldn't want my 15-year-old hips to try to deliver the babies that God has given me. You know, that would not go well for me. But one thing that I found, so after I had Jack and my body did this, I bought pants in the bigger size. It might have been you, Jordan, that was like, why don't you just go buy a different pair of jeans? Because if you're trying to get into this size and you know you're not, just go jean shopping. Just go get another pair of jeans.
Torturing yourself.
And then when you put on those jeans that actually fit the body that you have in that season, it's like, oh, I actually feel pretty good now. Shocker. I'm wearing fit my body. Mm-hmm. But for me, now that I've noticed this pattern, I just keep a tote, like a bin of jeans and shorts. And I, cause my body will fluctuate between like five sizes or so. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, I don't know. It's crazy, but I just keep a couple pairs of jeans and a couple shorts in each of the sizes that I know I will fluctuate through mm-hmm. during childbearing years that are just staples. Mm-hmm. And as styles change, if I want to go get a new pair of jeans, right. Totally fine. But then, so like this time with Elsie, I kind of prepared my mind mentally as mm-hmm. best as I could of, hey, this could happen again.
Right.
And so then when I hit that really frustrating spot back in like January, I thought, you know, I have those other jeans in the garage. Why don't I just go get those?
Yeah, that are ones that I like.
I feel pretty in them. They're comfortable. They fit me well. And then as my body, you know, goes back to kind of where it was or however my body's going to be after that baby, then I can look at getting a different pair of pants if I want. But not holding on to all of your clothes, because sometimes it's really discouraging to be like, wow, my hips used to be like this. Mm-hmm. But just to hold on to some of those things just practically so that you're not... It's not a big deal. It's just a trip to the garage, grab a different pair of jeans and you can move on with your day and you're not obsessing over it, you know?
Yeah, that's smart.
And, you know, another thing too to think about, if you're 20 plus, regardless of whether you have kids, mm-hmm. you've been able to have kids, whatever, your belly's a little squishy because of your uterus. Just the six pack, like everything is super tight all the time, is not healthy. It's not normal. It's good to be in control of both your feeling about yourself,
yes,
but also what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have unrealistic expectations for your season, and the season I'm talking about is most of your adult life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like your body's a little squishy because you have a cycle and mm-hmm. you have a uterus and your body, you know, prepares itself every month for something that guys just don't have.
Yeah.
And the stretch marks are to the glory of God. You have stretch marks. Most people that I know have stretch marks regardless of whether they've had children or not.
Yeah.
And that's because your body, our bodies change. So we are more equipped to do the work that the Lord sets in front of us.
Yeah.
And that regardless of whether that's chasing after your own kids and mothering them well, or you're serving other people, you're doing mission work, whatever that looks like for you that you've been called to. You guys were talking about a few minutes ago, what is our end goal? You know, when I look at older women who are faithful, they're winsome, they're wise, they're kind, they're invested in what's going on around them on a practical level and praying for people. I'm not looking at their laugh lines. I'm not looking at their gray hair. That is something like, you know, it's a whole other topic, but I think gray hairs are earned and they're so sweet.
They're crown of
They're such a great, yes, they are. And it's just, you know, the stretch marks are to the glory of God. The gray hairs are to the glory of God. Yeah. It means that you're alive, you're breathing, you're able to live another day to do the work the Lord set in front of you. And at the risk of sounding a little blunt, it's not what we struggle with. It's kindling on the fire for his altar. Mm-hmm. So we're laying that down. We're saying, this is not biblical. This is not helpful for me to do X, Y, Z, or think this way about my body or be anxious. And Jared said that on Sunday in his sermon. Yes, you can, you know, some anxiety is quote unquote normal because we have emotions. We're human. The Lord knows that. Mm-hmm. But what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do with your feelings about whatever it is? And so, yeah.
And one of the things that we're called to as women is to disciple other women. Mm-hmm. And that could be little women in our home. Like I have two daughters and I know both of you have a daughter, or it could be if you're single and you're a really great aunt to people, mm-hmm. to little girls, we are setting an example for them in how we care for our bodies, mm-hmm. but we're also setting an example for them in how we talk about our bodies. Yes. And if we are over here, you know, being really discouraging about our bodies, and if my kids think my belly is fun because it's squishy, and at first I was like, oh, I don't want it to be, and then I thought, you know, one day, Lord willing, my daughters are going to have daughters and they will also have stretch marks and their bellies are probably going to be squishy. How do I want them to respond to my grandchildren? Mm-hmm. I want them to respond, yes, and you know why? Because mm-hmm. God created you, knit you together in my belly. And this is just evidence that that's what he did. And he made you in my body, which is a miracle. And this is a good thing. And so we're setting an example. And that's important to remember that everything we say and do in our homes, whether our children or nieces or children that we're close to, is discipleship. We're discipling them and teaching them now how we should view and care for our bodies.
Yeah.
So when the kids ask me, oh, mommy, why are you going for a run? Or mommy, why are you working out? It's my answer is to care well for the body that God has given me mm-hmm. so that I can be healthy and care well for you. It's not, well, mommy would really like to be a size such and such, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't want to cast that onto them, but I do want them to grow up with a healthy view of their own bodies, but also just a healthy view of how to nourish and care for them in a way that's honoring to the Lord and not idolizing the self above what God has called us to do.
Yeah. The Christian woman has a way different body image than the rest of the world because we have a way different hope than the rest of the world. And that should be evident in how we care for ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we care for ourselves, and just generally being a low maintenance woman that can do a lot. We can handle it. I think it's Nancy Wilson that calls it a two-bucket woman. Be a two-bucket woman that can handle things. And we're not so fragile and self-consumed that we're only thinking about, if I was only a size two. There's so much better to think about. I also was thinking about The Dangerous Journey. I read that with Ransom a few years ago, and we reread it this year for school. So I was looking at it and thinking about Vanity Fair. So when when they come to, when Christian and Faithful come to Vanity Fair, and the people are yelling at them, and there's all the vanities around them, and they literally like cover their eyes and plug their ears. We don't want to hear it. And I think that as a Christian woman, we have to do that sometimes. We are so bombarded with so many lies and so much influence, whether it be social media influence, old fashioned seeing a billboard influence, or like a magazine or something. We're just so, it's everywhere. So I think there is times that we literally have to cover our eyes, unfollow the things, stop looking at things that are a lie to you, leading you into vanity. I like at the end of this part of Dangerous Journey, of this chapter where they're in Vanity Fair. So Christian and Faithful, they end up being imprisoned, and there's a judge, and the judge is summoning up, quoted, many learned instances from the laws of the Medes and the Persians to prove we know not what. Then he called on the jury, all lawful men and true, to consider their verdict. The foreman, Mr. Blind Man, said, I clearly see this man to be a heretic. Away with such a fellow, Mr. No Good. I, said Mr. Malice, for I hate the very looks of him. A sorry scum, said Mr. High Mind. Hang him, said Mr. Heady. Hanging is too good for him, said Mr. Cruelty. So they found him guilty according to their laws, and after endless indignities, they burned him at the stake, and thus Faithful met his end. But I saw in my dream that behind the crowds, there stood a chariot and horses waiting for Faithful, who, as soon as his enemies had done with him, was taken up into it and wafted through the clouds to the sound of trumpets. So in truth, he fared better than his friend Christian. He would arrive first at the celestial city, and having been faithful unto death, the king would give him the crown of life. And I think it's important for us to think about that our life is not about the vapor of right here and now. We have eternal glories waiting for us, and we should be living for that eternal crown. And I like this chapter because that's exactly what it's talking about. They refuse to succumb to the vanities of this world. And it ultimately ends with Faithful's death. But we, like him, our hope is in different things. And we sometimes have to block out all of the noise to be faithful and to live for eternity.
I love that.
Back to Franny Crosby and Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. The chorus of that, well, we sang Master Savior.
Yeah.
Hear my humble cry. I won't sing because I'm not good at it, but hear my humble cry. I don't know if it's a Savior, Savior, or Master Savior, but we sing Master Savior. And it made me think, my great grandma always referred to the Lord as Master, like whenever she was in conversations. Mm-hmm. It was just so sweet. You know how sometimes people will say the Lord, or when they pray, they say the Lord or dear Lord. And she always would say Master.
Oh,
and I hadn't thought about that in so many years until we sang that song. I'm like, oh man, we called her Gee, and Gee always referred to God as Master. And I'm like, man, what a healthy view for the Christian to think about God as their master, that our bodies are not our own, but we were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let your body not be an idol, but use it to glorify God. We have a master, and we should be glorifying him with our body and the way that we think about it, the way that we use it. Jared always says there's a slavery that looks like freedom and a freedom that looks like slavery. And we are slaves of a master, and slaves aren't self-consumed, or they shouldn't be. We're going about the deeds of our master and what he wants us to do. I think that's just important to think about as we think about this topic. We're not our own. And what freedom it is to be a slave of God. There is a slave that's free because they know that slavery is good for them. Slavery to God is good for us. And that's the only kind of real freedom that there is in this world. Like, you can be bound to yourself and bound to slavery of idolatry, or we can be free in knowing that, like, our life is not for us and for our glory.
And our bodies are not. Nothing that we do for our bodies should be to glorify ourselves. Like Proverbs 25:27 says, it is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory.
Mm.
And so if whatever we're doing is to seek, not even just with body image, obviously, like if anything that we're doing is to seek our own glory or have ourselves put on a pedestal, then it's got to go.
Yeah.
And just being honest with ourselves about where the weak spots are in our own journeys, I think is really the first step. And if you don't believe what the Bible is saying about who you are in Christ, then you repent, you pray, and you read it again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you cycle, cycle, cycle until mm-hmm. you believe what the Lord says about you, mm-hmm. because he's not wrong.
Yeah.
And to be.
Yes. <Am I wrong? laughs> Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else, guys?
I was just going to end with the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yeah.
And so it really all comes back to that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.